computer.
wrote.
We will
She
see.
wrote, "Big bummer." That's
Oh. Well, I guess if you're not here next week, we can do this again next week. And let her know that. Okay, so we are in Mishlei Parakhamishi. And the second half of it really starts with a new mashal, new metaphor. He was talking at the first part talked about how you should appreciate Torah, the metaphor as being a woman, and then with foreign wisdom as being all those other women you shouldn't be involved with, or at least not bring them into your home. You can learn from them, but home has to be within the world of Torah. And then you continue on with a kind of different way of looking at the same thing. He says, "Stay mayim et miborecha. Drink waters from your own well, from your own cistern." Because that's a cistern here. Nozlim mitok be'erecha, and the flowing water from your own well. Yatfutsu mayatecha chutzah, your springs will burst forth. Rechabot plagei mayim, there'll be streams of water in the streets. Hilchalavadecha, they'll be yours alone. There'll be no strangers with you. And here, obviously, it's the common metaphor of water is Torah, right? Ein mayim ela Torah. I drink your own water, right? From your own well. That there are other wells out there, but this is what's going to allow you to thrive. Shtei mayim mibarecha. Drink water from your own cistern. Yirmiyahu famously uses a similar metaphor about this, about Torah versus other foreign wisdom, foreign knowledge. This is verse 32. Yirmiyahu is complaining. God says that the people have done two terrible things to me. Oti azvu, makor mayim chayim. They abandon me. I am the source of fresh living water. That's the one thing they did wrong. And they're going out there and trying to dig these wells, but they're broken wells. That the water doesn't stay in there. Okay, you abandon the source of water again as a metaphor for Torah, and then you went to other water sources that went dry. So here's someone saying, stick to your water sources. This is yours. And there are four parts. Drink it from your own cistern, your own reservoir, springs from your well. Your springs will come, will burst forth. Streams of water in the streets. That's the way the Grod puts it. When it says, drink it from your own well, excuse me. That's the idea that you can bring water together in one place. A cistern isn't a source of water, it's the way of storing it. That's a metaphor for learning. I'm trying to bring in other wisdom from outside me, and bring into myself. And then nozlimi, then I can have it flowing from a well. A well has its own, is its own source of water. You're going to learn on your own, and you can derive new things. You will actually become a source of wisdom. And that will be the next step. Will be you become a well where you have your own water. You don't have to gather it from elsewhere, and then you become a mayan, a spring, bringing it forth. And then your springs will burst forth. Then you'll have a chance to teach others. First, you gather your water, then you become a spring to give water to others. And then the streets, there'll be streams of water. Will it be the next step? When you're teaching others, it's also the two aspects of that. The first one, you can teach other people. But the second part, that your teaching will move on from that, because the people you're teaching can go spread it with others. Your Torah will spread into other places and go far beyond your own influence. So the goal is to start with this well and to end up with palgei mayim brachavot, streams of water out in the streets, far from where you are. So your brachavot, the broad spaces, it spreads out. And that's the goal of learning, is to become a source of wisdom to others. And the Medrash looks at that, talking about this miborecha, right? It's drink from your own well. That's the way you're going to be able to learn well and become a t and to teach others. And says it not just it's not just about Torah, but it's about learning it locally. And this is the Midrash Mishlei. It says, "Stay mayim miborecha, drink from your own cisterns." Ketzad, how you do this? Moshe Adam Lamed Lilmod Torah. Person wants to learn Torah. I'll go somewhere else to learn, and then I'll come back and see what's around me. But stay locally. And this is the idea of your LOR, your local Orthodox rabbi. You want to learn, especially things like Psak, things that are relevant to your life. It needs to be someone that's actually close to you within your own sphere, right? The Torah says about this. This mitzvah I command in your day. It's not too wandering, it's not far away. You know that quote. It's not up to the heavens. That you're going to say, who can go into the heavens? You can take it for us, and then teach it to us, and we'll do it. The other half of that, it's not across the sea. Who can go out across the sea? You kind of want to take it for us. And then teach it to us. We'll do it. This Torah is close to you. It's in your mouth, your heart to do it. So Loba Shamayim, we know that interpretation, right? It means we don't look to the heavens for understanding Torah. I don't look for a Navi. I don't look for a Bat Kol. Famous story, the Tanur Shelachnai. We don't trust in voices from heaven. Or where the Gemara in Temura puts it, I'm Rabbi Huda Mar Shmuel. Shosha alafim halachot nishkechu b'mei avolosha Moshe. After Moshe died, as they're mourning, they realized there were 3,000 laws they had forgotten. Moshe's telling them, they told Torah, they've lost so much. Amrul Yeshua, so they asked Yeshua, Sha'al, go ask God what to do. Amrul Lahem, so Yeshua says, Loba Shamayim. At this point, we can't ask God what to do, right? We have to figure it out. That's Loba Shamayim. So this is my idea. I haven't seen anywhere else, but that Lo Me'eber Yamhi, it's not across the sea, has the same implication. Just like we can't ask heaven for it, we don't get asked the sea to teach us Torah. Don't go to faraway places to learn. Okay, this idea of Amara D'Atra. Your authority is someone who's there. Is my more kata. Excuse me, Rabbi Shmamina. We understand from this that Shubri Rabbanan, Etalmid Chacham, Digamati, that's in a city, Komi Demata Alei Rame, that everything that happens in that city depends on that person. You don't go asking Gadol who's far away, because the person who's there knows what's going on. Famous consequence of that is the fact that does poultry count as meat? Can you eat chicken and cheese? Good answer. Good. I'm glad you know that. But the thing is that the Torah doesn't say that, right? It's mammals who have milk they can't eat. But it's a drabban. It's kind of, it's a gezerah. So, chai, wild animals and birds, in terms of eating them with milk, is not from the Torah. All right. Midrabbanan Asiri. That is a Drabbanan. That was a Gezerah. Correct. It's too similar to meat. You're going to make a mistake. So rather than having chicken be parv, we're just going to call it fleshik. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Savar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, Of afil midrabbanan nami lo aser. He said, no. Poultry is not aser. Poultry is parv, just like fish. And so, but Makomash Rabbi Yosef Glili haya basar of v'chala. Where Rabbi Yosef Glili was the rabbi, they would eat poultry with milk. You're passing that way. Levi ikli de Yosef Rishba. And this is a story. Levi, one of the Amoraim, went to the house of Yosef Rishba. And they served him pheasant heads in tzitzis. He didn't mention anything. He had to come to the Rebbe, so then he goes to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi Amalei, Amailo Tishmatinu. Why didn't you? And Rebbe asked him, why didn't you discipline him? Why didn't you rebuke him? Amalei, Atrei Rebbe Yehuda ben Beteira. Because Rebbe Yehuda ben Beteira was the rabbi there. Amina, and I assume Darsh who Rebbe Yosef Glili. He owes Rebbe Yosef Glili. This is fine. Like the dinner was under Hashkacha, so I may not eat it, but he will. That's the idea of a Mara da'at. Amar Yosef A. Yotze af she'en lo yotze of she'en lo chelav ein, that birds which don't have milk obviously are not a part of lo tevashel gedi b'chalevim. Oh, they have no reason to have a gzera against that. And this from the story of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, several generations after everyone else was holding that no, you can't eat poultry and milk. There's a Mar d'Ashra, right? Your local rabbi has authority. And then there was a famous Igrot Moshe Feinstein. He said the same thing. And someone asked him, right? Someone who is, he's a Rav in Bnei Brak. Can he paskin something against the Chazon Ish? Who was the rabbi in Bnei Brak, two generations ago? And he says, Moshe Feinstein answers, Bnei. Now, the fact that you're hesitant to actually move to Bnei Brak, you're making noise. It's such a b'toch Torah, because when you're learning Torah, you're passing, you're giving all. There'll be times, Chazon, you may disagree with the Chazon Ish. No, chashash. There's no problem with that. Okay, you have to make your own decisions. That's your authority. There's no worry about the Isha'er. You can be there even in Bnei Brak, and some Chazon Ish was there. And you can teach your Torah Adarabba. Even more so, Yemelis Yoshe Barcha. And in fact, the soul of the Chazon Ish will be happy that you will learn his words and disagree with him. The fact that you're a ma'ein b'svarav, you are learning, you are looking at his svarim, that's a positive thing. You certainly can eat. But this is all the part, the same idea of being the local rabbi. You don't have to defer to someone who's far away. And that's the idea of stay ma'ein b'svarav, learn from your well there, because only learning face to face, can you get answers that are relevant to your own individual situation. You can't get a pesach halach on anything important from a text. Rabbi Abiner in Israel is famous for all these getting these texts and giving these text answers, but usually they're cute little one-liners. Most, for serious questions, it's you need to talk to your rabbi.
What's that article by Rabbi Soloveitchik, Chaim Soloveitchik, about?
The rupture and reconstruction, the famous one, that we've
Yeah.
lost that. And that part of what he talks about is this kind of the fact that Rosh Yeshiva have taken over in the minds from local rabbis. It says that's a problem because you go to a yeshiva, you're very impressed with your yeshiva, you come back, and now you can't write to your Rosh Yeshiva because they don't know what's going on where you are. And this is from Jonathan Zerling. The arguments were offered by Rabbi Sar Shalom Gaon in the 9th century for why the Gaonim preferred not to write commentaries in the Gemara, which would make them publicly accessible. Gaonim basically just answered Shalom. Instead, prefer that people direct their questions to them. You notice that in person it's easier to clarify, be thorough, and make sure there are no misunderstandings. Right? The Gaonim said, no, I'm not gonna write. We're not gonna they didn't write law books. Rishonim did that, the Rambam famously the Torah. The Gaonim said, no, you have a question, you come, we can look at it together. And this is where Gilstein put it. That Rosh Yeshiva needs to send their students to local rabbis as appropriate. Of course, I'm not suggesting the yeshiva is not a place for teaching practical halacha by answering questions. However, there are questions and there are questions. When a student wants to know whether this torn tzitzit have been validated, that's certainly an appropriate question for Rosh Yeshiva. He wants to know whether he should attend his cousin's intermarriage. It's entirely appropriate for Rosh Yeshiva to send a student to the local rabbi, maybe even call the rabbi directly. Now, the questions that need to know somebody, you have to be there. So start with that. Go to your local well for your in my middle Torah. And then it can spread out from there once you establish locally, where the mama puts it, Yafuja Mayanachutza, Lamdav, that you'll teach, as the Gra said, you'll teach your students, and then they'll spread out. They're tuned into the Rachov, Rachov Batim, that's the Rachov is the street in front of the houses, Shem Rishut HaRabim, that everybody's there. Everyone else, once you've had an influence on your students, they can have influence on others and they can spread. And that's what it means that Mishlei ends that section saying, you'll be yours and yours alone. Not that no one else has it, but it'll be cited in your name. You'll get that kind of fame. It'll be yours alone. Even though it will spread far and wide. People will quote you in your name. And that's the reward for wisdom. That's the way to get high status. Spread your Torah. People will remember you. And as we said before in Perek Gimel, Kavod Chachamim, the wise will inherit honor. Not by demanding that be honored, but just by having their words spread. And then the parrot moves on. Okay. To go back to the metaphor of the women. Shlomo likes his women. We know that. And the flip side of the Isha Zara is this foreign woman is a danger. He's telling you, stay with the women in your life. And so there are two women in your life, your mother and your wife. You can feel free to switch this around to the male side. And Shlomo is very focused on this. Okay, and it always seems a little to me that we're mixing these two up. That we were doing both, it's both the mother and the wife. They are both represent the same Torah. I spell memetically. Metic. You've seen that word before, right? That's most famously from Chaim Soloveitch's article. Is that's what we had, in Europe before everyone moved, everyone's exiled. That was this sort of learning simply by watching the family. So that's the Makor, that's the family, that's Torah Imecha. The mother is the metaphor for the mimetic tradition. And we know it's right because we've seen it. And then the wife is a metaphor as the woman from the outside. Tarona, wisdom's crying out in the streets, outside. You have to bring into your own home. You can learn from outside. Okay, it's the same Torah there. There's a difference between these two kind of two sides of it. The Torah you receive as a child, that you just absorb, early childhood teachers, where you don't have a choice in the matter. They just send you to school and you learn it. And then as you become an adult, you have to go seek it out. You have to learn it. You have to make it part of your own life. So he says, Yehi Mekorcha Baruch, that your source, that's the aim part, we shall be blessed. And be happy with the wife of your youth. That's the Torah that you brought into your home. Ayelet ohavim vayalachen. A how do you translate ayelet? A hind. Not sure how these are all different. Antelope and an antelope of love, and a mountain goat of grace. I'm not sure, and I try to figure this out. I'm not sure what to do with that metaphor. If you have any ideas, let me know. But again, it goes to that parallel. You've got the mother and the wife. The dad, Yarucha b'chol eit, her breast will feed you at all times. That's the mother, Bahavata, Tishkia Tamid, and you will be madly in love. That's the wife. Lama Tishkia b'ni b'zara, why should you be make yourself crazy with a strange woman, to embrace a foreign breast. Okay, and we have this mashal of dadim, of the breasts of nursing as being the source of life. That's Shir HaShirim is full of that kind of model when it says Shnei Shadecha Kishaparim, your breasts are like fawns, like the deer in the Shoshanim in the roses, that this is the Shadecha Manikotokach. Those that nurse you, those are the source of your life. He says the two of them are Moshe and Aaron. Ibn Ezra says, no, Shnei Shadecha, Shnei Torot. Torah Shebiktav, Torah Shebaalpeh. Two aspects of Torah. That's because that's the source of milk, and we've seen that in Yeshaya, that Kol Tzemei Lechu Amayim, that we should that anyone's thirsty shall drink water, as a metaphor for Torah. You'll get the milk and the wine and the sources of life. And again, excuse me. That we have this mother as the ayala, the antelope, and the wife is the el, the mountain goat. And the Malbim says, well, the ayala, ayala, these kind of animals, shehem ugaritin al hare batar, they live in the mountains, balasalim in the rocks, rachamim tsar, and really their wombs are narrow. They give birth with difficulties. They're very careful about their young. As it says in Iyo, Vaidata eight letit yalei sela. Do you know when Hashem is telling Iyo, how can you complain to me about how I run the world? Do you know anything about how the world works? And he's asked, you know how the how the mountain goats give birth? Well, Iyo Tishmar, can you watch the birth pangs of the antelopes? And Hayala to Orer Ahava, Hayala to Orer Chen, and the Hayala symbolizes love, the El symbolizes grace, and I have no idea what that's for. Some stuff. I don't know enough about these animals to make the difference there, but the message remains. Don't go after this Isha Zara. Stay like that. Bavata Tishket Tamid. You should be literally like a Mesugana. You should be madly in love with your wife. Here is a metaphor for Torah. And then he ends the parak with the next message, which is that justice will be served. Hashem is always watching. You need to stay in the bayit of Torah, not wander to the other houses, because Hashem's always watching you. Because the ways of man are always in front of God's eyes. Mefales, and he is always weighing his path. The wicked will be trapped in their own sins, and he will fall into the chains of his own iniquity, his own sins. The Rasha will die if he doesn't get Musar, doesn't get discipline, Rov, he will tell Yishkeh, and because of his refusal to learn, he won't make bad decisions. Yishkeh will make mistakes, Bishigayon. Right? Without Musar, you will be unable to make a good decision. You need to be able to listen to others. And that's the way we've talked about this. This was Professor Green's at Tel Aviv University. It was a professor of Tanakh. Says that the assumption in Mishlei is the Rasha gets what they've got coming. There's no such thing as tzaddik v'ra. Justice eventually will happen. Sefer Mishlei, Sefer Bitachon. Mishlei is a book of certainty. Bitachon Bekel, it's praising God with Derech Yashav Adam, and that there is a right way for people to act. Eretz Nitna Biyad Tzaddik. The righteous will inherit the earth. Ein lo Adam. A person just needs to do the right thing. The Shmur Musar, listen to the Musar, to the lessons of Mishlei. Shacharet HaTov, seek out the good. Yirat Hashem, fear God. Liot Charutz B'maaseh, be careful in what you do. Be'eretz Yitalo, and then everything will be good. You'll inherit the earth. Darcho Nechonah, the way is set out before you. And you and your children will be successful. Yesh Ein Sofia, there's an eye that's always watching. Nochach Hashem Neidach, God's watching. Yesh Gmul Amet, there's the true justice. Let's Tzadik Vasha. Yesh Seder Musari Ba'olam, there's a moral organization to the universe. Or as Martin Luther King Jr. put it, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And Jan's back.
I'm back. Hold on.
Okay. So I thought Ruthie's going to Israel next week, so we can discuss her this next week. Wow.
Wait, hold on one sec. This went too far. Well, anyway, I'm sort of off to the left of the thing. But anyway, sorry. And the power just like there was this big explosion. I have no
Oh.
idea what happened. We called Ameren, and then all of a sudden, just like it went off, it all came on.
Oh, that's good. We've been in this
So,
Paris for days and
Danny,
days.
what were you saying? Because yeah, Ruthie's going to Israel,
We can
so.
discuss it. We can father this next week, and it'll give me another week to prepare after that.
All right, so you'll email me as long as you don't have any issues. I'm happy to
Okay.
learn with you.
We are here. We're almost done with this. Well, we're talking right now the fact that God's always watching. The ways of man are before God's eyes, and there is a moral order to the universe, and the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Okay? And
I
that's.
didn't realize MLK was the one who said that quote.
Let's
Because
see.
you always hear Obama saying it.
Well, he was after Martin Luther King. Let's see. So here we go. This is the Quote Investigator, which is a great website. Because he does this. He like spends his entire life checking out all the quotes that everybody knows, and you can look back. So evidently, the first time this concept came was the Unitarian minister in 1810. This idea. All right. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one, but from what I can see, I'm sure it bends toward justice. So King quote
Wow.
sort of shortened that. Yeah, and Obama has quoted that as well. But the idea that you're being watched is important. The Mishnah says that explicitly. If you remember three things, ena tabal de avera, then you will never sin. Da mala mala mincha. Know that above you is an ayin ro. What's above you? Ayin ro'eh. There's an eye that sees, ozen shomat, an ear that hears, b'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. And everything you're doing is being recorded. Which at the time of the Mishnah was obviously a metaphor. You are not literally being watched at every moment. You're not being listened to at every moment. And not everything you did was ever being recorded. But there's a great story about the Chafetz Chaim. When he was presented with the Kodak portable camera. Now, they had cameras before that, but the Kodak developed one that you actually could carry around and take pictures and have them develop later. It didn't require all this preparation. So, this is the story. When they told the Chafetz Chaim, Palut al ha-mitzlamah rishana, about the wonders of the first camera. And again, that is not the first camera, the first portable camera. Matpia. He was immediately responded. Alam lo mitkadem. The world's not advancing. That's not a great invention. Alam nasoga achora. It's a sign that things are going backwards. The Kindred Spirit explained this. This is the Chafetz Chaim, probably late 19th century, early 20th. Bedora kodmim, previous generation, haminu hayon Hashim bala'emun, that people believed. And they had emunah, they had faith. When the Mishnah said, "Ayin ro'eh ve'ozen shomat," that there was an eye that sees and an ear that hears, talking about God. Yadu v'yipnimu, they knew and they internalized the idea. Umnam kenu, they realized that was true. Pasu emunim adam, but right now, nobody really has that kind of faith. Nobody really believes that everything I do is being recorded. Kol musafkanim mitaimim, and so they're. People were wondering, what does that mean? My parish, I don't know. What does it mean? I'm being observed. There's an eye that sees. You can, tomorrow you're going to be able to see what I we did wrong yesterday. What does it mean? Say that there's an ear that hears. Im dibarti emesh lo tzulka hogen machar yishmu kali. If I said something wrong yesterday, no one's gonna hear me tomorrow. Therefore, hamatzlema. So that's why God had made sure that they invented the camera, they entered the recorder, the night, to say, that everything you do is now eternal. That literally has happened. You're right. You can actually be recorded, and they can see what you did the next day and then forevermore. Okay, again, this was talking 120 years ago. Now, obviously, our generation must be even further, nasoga even further, but it's not a metaphor at all. That literally, everything you do is being watched. Everyone is carrying around a camera, recording everything you're doing, and it is recorded forever. So when the Mishnah says that an ayin shomat, ayin ro'eh ozen shomat, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, that's absolutely true, just with other people, so we can understand what that means in terms of us. Clearly, with the with a fine cartoon that they're cells watching me all the time. Machines reporting the watches. The watches are always watching. And the psychiatrist answers, "Right, of course. Is anything bothering you? It's getting harder and harder to diagnose paranoia." That is where the parrot concludes: is realize you're being watched. Make good choices, and then we will continue later with Perek Rav, but I'm going to stop here.